Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we present a special Heritage Day chapel titled, Two Lives, One Lord, One Lasting Legacy.
Good morning. My name is Micah Coaston, and it is my privilege to welcome you today to our annual Heritage Day program. A rich part of our heritage is the practice of acknowledging the presence of God in everything that we do on campus. So would you join me and stand as we open in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this morning, and we pause to remember two men who have given of their lives so that we could be here today. We are grateful for their sacrifice, for their commitment, and for their love for you. Help us this morning to be listeners, to recognize all that they have done. And we give you praise for what you have done through their lives. We thank you for their gifts. We thank you for their sacrifice. And we pray these things in the awesome name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated.
Hi, I'm Jenny Foran, and I have some very good news for you this morning. You've come into an inheritance. Now, if you're like me, you may not feel very rich. You may not even have enough quarters to do your laundry this weekend. But you have received a valuable legacy. Mr. Webster defines legacy as anything handed down by an ancestor or a predecessor.
Of course, everything that we do receive ultimately comes from God. The Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father. Sometimes his gift is a man or a woman.
He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers.
And sometimes he gives his gifts to men so that they can pass them on to his people.
The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also.
The legacy that we have received today comes from two men whom God equipped with unique gifts to bless his people. These two men accepted the talents that God gave them, invested their gifts in his service, and left a lasting legacy that we still enjoy today.
I'm Monica Mohanani.
And I'm Matt Templeton.
And we would like to introduce you to the founder of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. On October 30th, 1883, just over 121 years ago last week, on a farm in South Alabama, Georgia Creel Jones gave birth to her 11th child. Her husband Alex named the boy Robert Reynolds Jones after an old Confederate Army comrade of his. Alex and Georgia reared their large family on a vegetable and peanut farm in southern Alabama. Times were hard. All the children learned to plow and plant and weed the crops. Alex was rugged, spirited, and progressive. Georgia was quiet, patient, and loving. Both were hard-working, devout Christians, and they saw to it that their children went to church and learned the scriptures. In 1894, 11-year-old Bobby Jones answered an altar call at the Beulah Methodist Church and received Jesus Christ as his Savior. Bobby was spiritually mature even at this early age, and it was quite clear that God had given him a gift for communicating the gospel. At the age of 12, he was preaching regularly and was the Sunday school superintendent in his home church. By the time he was 15 years old, Bob Jones was licensed to preach by the Methodist Episcopal Church and had already seen hundreds of people come to know Christ in revival meetings all over South Alabama.
From 1896 to 1900, Bob Jones attended high school at Mallow U Seminary in Kinzie, Alabama. His mother and father both died while Bob was attending Mallow U. And at the turn of the century, Bob Jones was 16 years old, on his own in this world, and enrolled at Southern University in Greensboro, Alabama. He had received no financial inheritance from his beloved parents, but they left him a legacy that stood him in good stead for the remainder of his life, a love for Christ, a fierce integrity, and a determination to succeed. During Bob's college years, he became almost a full-time preacher and evangelist. He pastored several Methodist churches and held evangelistic meetings on a regular basis. In 1905, Bob Jones married Bernice Sheffield, but she died of complications from tuberculosis a year later. In 1908, he married Mary Gaston Stolenwerk, who was to be his faithful companion for over 55 years. The first two decades of the 20th century were the golden years of the great evangelists. Thousands flocked to the citywide campaigns, and by the 1920s, Bob Jones was one of the most respected and prominent preachers in the country. In 1917, for example, he held an 8-week campaign in Zanesville, Ohio, where more than 250,000 people attended the services, and 3,284 people were won to Christ. Before his 30th birthday, he had preached in 25 states, and by 1923, he estimated he had preached 12,000 sermons to audiences totaling 15 million people.
Evangelist Bob Jones was a fiery preacher of the old-time religion, but he was not old-fashioned or afraid of progress. He was eager to use the fledgling technology of radio and was the first preacher to broadcast a sermon by live remote. In 1925, he financed, wrote, and acted in what is believed to be the first Christian film. He lectured on the Chautauqua Circuit, an extremely popular program that brought famous speakers, musicians, and artists to small towns across America to introduce culture to the masses. He started a Christian magazine utilizing mass mailings. In short, Dr. Bob was as progressive in his methods as he was orthodox in his doctrine, but his most daring venture was yet to come. It is said that the birth of your first child changes your life forever, and this was never more true than it was for Bob and Mary Gaston Jones. Their first and only child was born on October 19, 1911, and they named him after his father. In his early childhood, while his parents carried the heavy responsibilities of the evangelistic campaign and extensive traveling, young Bob Jones Jr. was educated by his godly grandmother, Estelle Siddons Stolenwerk, and other various hired tutors. Mrs. Stolenwerk was a scholarly, cultured woman who instilled in her grandson a love for the literature and the arts that he never outgrew. She taught him French when he was 6 years old, the same year that he accepted Christ in one of his father's campaigns. When Bob Jr. was 12, in 1923, he accompanied his parents on a European and Mediterranean tour that made a lasting impression on his life. There he saw the great art museums and galleries of Europe and visited the Holy Land. His love for travel, the arts, and the Middle East would last for a lifetime. It was apparent by now that Bob Jr. was a young man with a unique combination of artistic sensitivity, intelligence, and spiritual insight. But Dr. Jones Sr. and his wife were concerned about Bob Jr.'s education. Where could they send him to college where his faith would not be undermined? The year was 1925. The 1920s were years of social upheaval in America. A time of peace and relative prosperity had followed in the aftermath of World War I, but the effects of the teaching of Darwinian evolution and Freudian psychology at American colleges were finally working their way into the general culture. Society as a whole was rebelling against Victorian standards of decency and morality. The prohibition laws against alcoholic beverages were openly flouted on college campuses, and young people were dancing to the jazz sounds of Louis Armstrong and Duke Ellington. It was the flapper era, and even religious colleges were questioning the truths of Scripture and abandoning biblical principles.
As Bob and Mary Gaston Jones drove to Florida in April of 1925 for a time of much-needed rest, they discussed their concerns about Bob Jr.'s education. They needed a Christian school that would be spiritually true without sacrificing academic and cultural integrity. They stopped at lunchtime and bought some sandwiches and pulled into a rest area by the Coco River near Kissimmee, Florida. Mrs. Jones related that,
"Just as a clap of thunder out of a clear blue sky, he looked at me and said,
'Mary Gaston, I'm going to found a school.'
She replied, 'Robert, are you crazy? Honey, you don't know anything about the school. You can't found one. You're not an educator.'
I know I can't, but God can." Bob Jones was 42 years old. He was at the pinnacle of success as an evangelist, and though he had no way of knowing it, he was at the halfway point in his life on earth. Little did he know what God would ask of him over the next 42 years. God did found a school that would fulfill Dr. Jones' dream of what a Christian school should be. And he used his faithful servant, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., to oversee the task.
In December of 1926, a groundbreaking ceremony was held in College Point, Florida, near Panama City, for the campus of Bob Jones College. Dr. Jones didn't want the college named after him, but the board felt that his name and reputation could only help the new school. By the spring of 1927, construction on the campus site was well underway, and the college opened on schedule with a gala ceremony on September 14, 1927. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. guided the fledgling college through the most difficult years of its existence. He poured his energies into raising money for the school and recruiting new students, while continuing his full-time evangelistic work. He moved the college to Cleveland, Tennessee in 1934 and turned the day-to-day operations over to his son, Bob Jr. For the next 30 years, Dr. Bob continued to preach and promote the school that God had led him to start. As Dr. Dan Turner writes, he had a gift for refining God's word into powerful nuggets of truth that lodged in the hearts of his hearers. He loved his preacher boys in the ministerial class, and a whole generation of young preachers was influenced by Dr. Bob. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. left some indelible marks on Bob Jones College that are still recognizable today as his legacy to succeeding generations. First and foremost was his commitment to the supremacy of Christ. He preached,
"Higher education standards we are going to have, but the big thing is still the blood of Christ, the prayer room, and the mourner's bench. I'll do away with history, English, or science before I'll let anything be put ahead of my Lord." He wrote, "Do you want your son or daughter educated in a Christian school which believes in the Bible from cover to cover, in a school which emphasizes the necessity of the new birth and holds uncompromisingly to the old-time religion?"
Thankfully, this priority has not changed in the past 77 years. In 2004, the president, administration, and faculty remain committed to the founder's love for Christ and love for the souls of men. The second great legacy left us by Dr. Bob Sr. is the dogged determination to stand for truth and right. When he realized that God was calling him to start a school, he put part of his burden like this.
"I see some conditions we're going to face, and there ought to be a school that would just take a stand and hold that stand regardless. It should be in line with the Word of God."
Dr. Bob Sr. was alert to the cultural trends of his day, and especially to the creeping tide of liberalism in the religious schools and denominations. He was resolute in his convictions and unwavering in his defense of biblical truth. His conviction is summed up in the oft-repeated statement,
"Bob Jones University stands without apology for the old-time religion and the absolute authority of the Bible."
Today, the university still stands for truth. Every new religious trend or fad is examined in the light of God's word, and positions are taken on the basis of what is right, not what may be popular or convenient.
The third lasting mark left by Dr. Bob Sr. on the school that bears his name is his insistence on excellence. While others believe that one must choose between spiritual fervency and academic excellence, Dr. Bob insisted on both. Bob Jones College is dedicated to the fundamental precepts of the Christian religion and founded on the principles of personal salvation, high academic standards, personal discipline, and personal refinement.
He possessed a wonderful blend of practicality and idealism. As the small campus rose out of the ground in the swampy pine thickets of the Florida Panhandle, Dr. Bob saw only great potential.
"We're out here in the woods by ourselves," he said, "and we've got something real. Something that really matters. We're blazing a trail for Jesus Christ. Future generations will follow in our footsteps."
And he was right. We are the beneficiaries of his vision and his sacrifice.
In 1927, 16-year-old Bob Jones Jr. transferred his high school credits to the newly formed Bob Jones Academy and became a member of its first graduating class. The following year, he entered Bob Jones College as a speech major and a history minor. He was keenly interested in dramatics, and in 1929, he founded a Shakespearean repertory company on campus, known to this day as the Classic Players. He graduated from the college in 1931 and went on for postgraduate work at the University of Pittsburgh, completing his master's degree in history in 1933. He also took classes in drama and theater at Northwestern University.
Dr. Jones, Jr. joined the college faculty shortly after graduation, and within a year was named vice president of the college and acting president in his father's absence. In 1938, he married Fannie Mae Holmes, a refined and godly Christian lady, who had come to Bob Jones College in his first year in 1927. She majored in home economics and was a talented singer, a fine athlete, and a leader on campus. After her graduation, Ms. Holmes earned her master's degree in home economics, then returned to the college as a dietitian and to teach home economics courses. After several years of casual acquaintance, Bob Jr. and Ms. Holmes began to date in 1937 and were married a year later. The night before their wedding, Dr. Bob Jr. played the title role in Shakespeare's Richard II without fluffing a single line. The next day, however, he stumbled over his memorized wedding vows twice.
By now, the school had relocated from the Florida Panhandle to Cleveland, Tennessee, and Dr. Bob Jones Jr. was actively developing the curriculum and cultural offerings of Bob Jones College. He was honored and recognized as an outstanding actor and was even offered a Hollywood screen test in 1937. But Dr. Jones Jr. declined and poured his vast energies into the school his father founded. He had already established the Campus Artist Series, and now it was flourishing on the Cleveland campus. In 1942, he organized the Bob Jones College Opera Association. New majors were added, and several buildings were constructed on the campus. Enrollment grew steadily from around 400 students in 1937 to over 1,200 by 1945. The rapidly growing student body, fueled by returning GIs from World War II, was quickly outgrowing the Cleveland campus, and the college began to look elsewhere for the space that was urgently needed. In September of 1946, a groundbreaking ceremony was held in Greenville, South Carolina, for a new campus, and construction began on the first phase of the complex.
1947 was a watershed year for the school. In May, Dr. Bob Jones Jr. was named president of the college, and the name of the school was changed to Bob Jones University. In South Carolina, the campus, designed by Dr. Jones Jr., was rapidly being constructed. And on October 1st of that year, Bob Jones University opened its doors in Greenville with 2,494 students enrolled. And, by the way, the dormitories were only designed to hold 2,000. Dr. Bob Jr. was 36 years old when the school moved to Greenville. And for the next 50 years until he passed away in 1997, the university was guided under his capable leadership and keen insight. The spacious new campus gave Dr. Bob Jr. the opportunity to expand on the vision that he inherited from his father. Dr. Bob Sr. jokingly said, "I'm not going to build the college. I'm not going to have anything to do with it. If it isn't right when it's all over with, then you can say Bob Jr. didn't know anything about architecture." He spearheaded the creation of a radio station for religious and classical music broadcasting, WMUU, and a studio was built on campus, right where this auditorium now sits. He founded Unusual Films and began making Christian films on a scale unknown outside of Hollywood. He wrote his first novel, Wind of Mourning, in 1950, and a few years later, it became an award-winning film for Unusual Films. All of the cultural offerings of the school, from Shakespeare to grand opera to classical and sacred concerts, continued to expand and flourish under Dr. Bob Jr.'s leadership. In 1951, with initial investment of $30,000, Dr. Bob opened the Bob Jones University Museum and Gallery. Today, the gallery is recognized as the finest collection of sacred art in the Western Hemisphere and attracts thousands of visitors to the campus each year.
The academic offerings of the university were also expanding under Dr. Jones's leadership. New majors were added regularly, and Dr. Jones developed a faculty and administration that were intellectually gifted and spiritually mature. The campus facilities were also expanding. Two more dormitories were added in the 1950s, along with the original gymnasium. In the 1960s, it seemed like a new building was added each year. The Science Building, Siddons and Reveal Dormitories, the Dining Common, the Alumni Stadium, Campus View Apartments, and Barge Hospital were all constructed. In the 1970s, building continued at the Academy, a faculty wing was added to the Alumni Building, an elementary school building was built, and the amphitheater was completed. The yellow brick that Dr. Jones had originally chosen to face the buildings on campus may have fallen out of favor elsewhere, but here it was in great demand. All of these projects were planned and carried out under the supervision of Dr. Bob Jones, Jr., while he maintained a busy schedule of preaching around the world, overseeing the day-to-day activities of the university, directing the museum and gallery, and acting in films and classic players.
But Bob Jones, Jr. should perhaps best be remembered for changing the face of fundamentalism. His father had often lamented the fact that some Christians of his day seemed to be proud of their ignorance of culture, bad manners, and slovenly appearance. He believed that the life of a Christian should reflect the character and attributes of the God we serve, like a love for truth, beauty, and order, as well as a love for the souls of men. Dr. Jones, Jr. created the environment, secured the funding, and put the programs in place that would ensure that the graduates of Bob Jones University would understand something of history, culture, and the fine arts, as well as the fundamentals of the faith.
At the same time, Dr. Jones Jr. strongly opposed liberalism and compromise in evangelical churches and institutions. He remained absolutely committed to the doctrines of the Bible, the evangelization of the lost, and the purity of the church on earth. Criticized at times from the left and from the right, Dr. Jones played his role on earth for the audience of one, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Dr. Bob Jr. and Fannie Mae Holmes had three children, Joy, Bob III, and John. Bob III, or Bobby, as his family called him, was born in 1939 when the school was still in Cleveland, Tennessee. Greatly influenced by his grandfather and his father, Bob III gave his life to God at an early age and eventually came to believe that the Lord wanted him to serve at the university. In 1971, Dr. Bob Jones Jr. surrendered the presidency of the university to his son, Bob III, and became a chancellor. For the next 25 years, he continued to keep a schedule that would have exhausted much younger men. Dr. Bob Jr.'s eloquent style of preaching was unique in fundamentalism, and he was greatly in demand as a preacher and conference speaker. He continued to travel the world, encouraging missionaries and ministering in all corners of the globe. Dr. Bob enjoyed meddling in the affairs of the university, as he liked to call it, and he enjoyed his role as a grandfather to the student body. When Dr. Bob Jones Jr. passed away in 1997, the university, the Christian church, and indeed the world lost a true Renaissance man. To all who knew him, he was truly unforgettable. Of course, he too left an unmistakable imprint on the school that bears his name.
Dr. Bob Jr. stood untiringly for the authority of the scriptures. He was not a trained theologian, but he loved the Bible, and his keen insight into human nature, literature, and drama made the scriptures come alive in his sermons. By his own testimony, Dr. Bob's life was given to standing firm for the Word of God, winning men and women to Christ, and having a positive influence for the authority of the scriptures. In 2004, the Word of God is still as precious as ever on this campus. Daily Bible classes and chapel services keep students, faculty, and staff focused on the Bible as the sole authority for our faith and practice.
Most of the buildings on campus bear Dr. Bob Jr.'s distinctive imprint. But perhaps our most obvious living legacy is the thriving fine arts program. He initiated the artist series, Shakespearean productions, Vespers, opera, art gallery, and museum, unusual films, radio and television department, orchestra, band, art department, and more. The unique cultural experiences that we all enjoy at Bob Jones University today make this school unlike any other in the country. The extra polish that is noted in many of our graduates can be attributed to the vision and effort of Dr. Bob Jones Jr.
Finally, Dr. Jones Jr. left us a legacy of consistency. Many Christian institutions founded in the early 20th century wilted under cultural pressures and modernist influences. Dr. Bob Jr. proved beyond a doubt that a school can remain true to the scriptures and the principles handed down from our forefathers without becoming quaint or old-fashioned. Without compromising a conviction or sacrificing a principle, Dr. Bob, with God's help, built a modern university that is academically sound, culturally refined, and faithful to God's word. Dr. Bob III continues this legacy of consistency today, and he is passionate about keeping Bob Jones University faithful to the principles upon which it was founded.
There are many examples in history of young people who have inherited a great deal of wealth and just squandered it. Perhaps they didn't appreciate what they had received because it didn't cost them anything. Or maybe they just took it for granted because it had always been there.
We too have a legacy, a gift from two of God's servants, Dr. Bob Sr.
and Dr. Bob Jr. Sometimes we take our inheritance for granted.
The godly faculty and staff, the beautiful campus, the chapel services, the plays and concerts.
But today, let's reflect on what we have received, and let's thank the Lord for the two men who invested their lives to make it possible.
Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for all that you have done, all that you have accomplished in this place. We thank you for the history and for the founding of this university. We thank you for the founder and for his vision and for his goals that he set forth for this place. And as we continue in this year, 2004, may we never forget all that has been accomplished here. But may we go forward with new vision, with focus, with direction. May we stand firm to the authority of the Scriptures. May we never look back, but may we go forward. May we press on. May we continue with your grace and with your power into new years ahead. May we always appreciate what you have done and what you have accomplished. We give you thanks and we praise you today.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Today you heard a special Heritage Day chapel entitled Two Lives, One Lord, One Lasting Legacy. For a cassette copy of today's program, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to ask for the Heritage Day program. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.